In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Farm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to take the topic today, I'll just tell you up front, the topic of the Master's Key Part 2. This is entitled Lessons from Eagles. Say Lessons from Eagles. And you've heard me teach this before. I'm going to bring a little bit different twist to it today. But let's begin verse 9. In fact, on the screen, if you can see, you can read with me. It's kind of small type, but you can see. Let's read together verse 9. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob is his special possession. He found them in a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard with his own eyes. Like an eagle who rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them. They followed no foreign gods. Amen. It's a beautiful text. Beautiful text. And I want to start at that text today and note that God compares himself to a mother eagle, all right, in this regard. And we're going to take that run with that. Because eagles speak to us about mothers and about God and about the caring nature of God. First of all, it says that she rouses her chicks. Say she rouses her chicks.
She rouses.
Now, this means to rouse is to incite or awaken, right? So one of the things that mother eagle does and her instinct is to rouse her chicks. That is, the chicks, the children, if you will, in the nest just can't sit around in there and just eat all the time, okay? They get to eat, they get to be cared for and protected, but at some point she will arouse and incite them and awaken them because they have to learn how to fly, how to hunt, how to live. And it speaks to certainly our mothers and God himself as our mother-like one that God and our moms incite us and awaken us and inspire us to learn and to grow. And so God is stirring his people in many ways. He does it through sermons, teachings, and trials. The Holy Spirit himself convicts us. And these are some of the ways in which God himself rouses us and he incites us. Now, there's three things in this text. You'll see three parts of this text. And first of all, the first part, verses 7 through 9, talk about how God makes promise to his people. Again, the analogy between eagles, their chicks, and God. Thank you. And the first part here is God makes promise to his people. Second, God is perfecting his people. And third, God is making provision for his people. And I've taken some of these thoughts from a writer named Mr. Robert Cobb, a minister. So this is what God's doing. And so the master keys we're giving you here today and last week open and lock doors for you. Now we have, you know, in this building lots of doors, and but there's a master key that unlocks several of these doors. And there are also keys that, for example, the outer office has one key, the inner office has a master key. So if all you have is one key for the outer office, you can't get to the inner office where we count money and where my office is. But a master key can go into all the rooms. Now, the point is simply that in your life, you need master keys. Because the keys you have, the keys, things you know, things you understand, aren't enough to open doors in your life. But God gives us master keys. And so those keys open not only doors of opportunity, but spiritual doors, things of, like insight and wisdom, health and strength and all these things, encouragement. That master keys from the Word of God through Jesus gives us these abilities. Well, in this instance, the master key will show you how God and how mothers have the master key to help you grow, to help you understand your purpose, to nurture you, to strengthen you. So thank God, that's a very unique feature, or more than a feature, it's more of a, it's a characteristic of mothers to nurture in a very special way. Now, dads can nurture too, but a dad's nurturing is different than a mother's nurturing. In fact, you need both. We need both, don't we? And children early on need the mother's type of nurture. As they get older, they go into dad type nurture, okay? And so, but then those are single mothers got to do both, right? So thank God for us, the promise to perfect us, the promise, he makes promise to us, he perfects us, and he provides for us. So again, the mother eagle speaks of the nurturing nature of our God. And that word nurture is a very specific term. But first of all, I'm going to say this about eagles. Eagles, male and female eagles, bald eagles, they mate for life. Did you know that? Now, some birds just, you know, the mother has the eggs, the male fertilizes, he's gone. But the eagles are different. Eagles mate. The male to female mate for life. And they have the chicks and have some more chicks and more chicks later. You know, they're like Pentecostals, you know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. And Catholics and stuff, okay? They just make babies, okay? All right. But the beautiful part is, and the ironic part is, eagles got more sense than people. Sometimes, amen, leave that alone. So, but it's important. That's why when God chose to use the bird, the eagle, he had a reason for choosing that bird. He didn't choose a crow and a sparrow and goose and geese. He chose an eagle for lots of reasons. And so our mothers represent to us God's grace and eagle's character. Now, the word nurture, defined, means this: to give tender care and protection to a child, a young animal or a plant, to help it grow and develop, to encourage somebody or something to grow, develop, thrive, and be successful. Amen. My wife, last week was Teacher Appreciation Week. My wife been teaching for 38 years, and amen. Amen. Thank God for teachers. Jonathan's a teacher, and Pat Jones has been a teacher, and who else is a teacher here? Nicole's a teacher. Gwen, master, great teacher, teacher of teachers. And so that, but see, what great teachers do, they don't just teach you, they nurture you. Because some things are better caught than taught. So you can talk to people, but when you engage with people, they really grow. They get the understanding quicker if you nurture them. And so nurturing is just care for the whole person, not just transferring information, but caring for the whole person. That's what nurture means, a powerful word, and it applies to how we, you know, if you're a nurturing gardener, you care about your plants. You're out there every day looking at them and checking things out. If you have a pet, you know, you care about, a nurturing person just cares about everything, living, every living thing. Nurturing person has special concern about that. Now I'm going to share with you characteristics of eagles and as relates to God. Look at our slide now. Characteristics of God and eagles. First of all, there is the eagle's sight. The eagle's sight is quite renowned, and you may have heard that they have extraordinary vision. They can see an object as small as a rabbit from hundreds of feet in the air. They can see a small rabbit, and they can just swoop down and get that rabbit, or see a salmon, you know, or a fish swimming in the water up near the surface, and can time their descent and their attack to capture the salmon just when he's at the top of the water. It's pretty amazing. I, in fact, saw in Florida, I watched an osprey, which is a hawk, type of a hawk in Florida, not as big as an eagle, but a big bird. And I watched an osprey, diving for fish. And I watched him catch a fish and take it to the top of a tree and begin eating it. All right, first he bit the head and spit the head out, you know, and began, well, I shouldn't, that's too much detail for you, what he did, though. But it was something to see. He worked that thing. And then a couple crows came around And the crows stay low on the branch, real low, hoping for some scraps. The best they can get is scraps, because they don't have the ability to go snatch fish out the water. So nature gives us great, great pictures of God's power, of a mother's ability as well. So the eagle's sight is the first characteristic, and it speaks of what we call God's omniscience, that God sees all. He sees all. That's what omniscient means. Second is the eagle's swiftness. Eagles are very, very fast. They can fly up almost 100 miles an hour in level flight at high altitude, 100 miles an hour. They can dive even faster than that. Now, they are very big birds. I mean, they're much larger than you may realize, but they can travel fast. And so that speed speaks of God's omnipresence. An eagle can be right on top of you. That poor fish in the water, he never saw what hit him. He was figuring, I'm going to go up and get some air, but I'm going to go up and see what's above or whatever. He got close to the top. He got too close because the eagle came down at the right time, boom, snatched him out of the water. But God is also omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. And it appears like your mom is also omnipresent. Seems like mama is omnipresent, you know. Seems like she knew where you were, had eyes in the back of her head. My mom told me that one time. She said, I got eyes in the back of my head. I'm like, I was staring in the back of her head, hoping the hair would part so I could see the eyes back there. I was very young. But she made me think she's always there, you know. And the reason the police will camp out and will, you know, catch people speeding, the same reason. In fact, in Florida, their thing is to set police cars out, nobody in them. You know, so you go back past, you slow down, or become observant, there's a car over there, and you go back the same way, and next day, like, oh, that's the same car in the same position. Then I saw some grass growing up around the wheels, like, okay. But the point is, they want to be omnipresent. The police can't be everywhere, but they want to put you in the mind of, we might be here, we might be everywhere. Well, so God is actually omnipresent. No props, doesn't have to pretend, no decoys. He is actually present everywhere. Next is the eagle's strength, the eagle's strength of omnipotence, God's omnipotence. And eagles only weigh about 25 pounds, which is big for a bird, but they can lift up to 75 pounds. They can pick up rabbits and animals and mammals of all sorts. And so you saw the talons in that video, the huge talons, very powerful and big wings, have enough power to lift these, whatever they catch. And so, in fact, those who handle eagles have to wear, you know, a very thick thing on their arm, not just, you know, not get stuck, but not be squeezed. So not only is it a thick piece of leather, it's hard. Eagles have a lot of gripping pressure. And so a handler has to wear that to prevent their arms being crushed by the grip of an eagle. So eagles are very strong. And mama's strong too, amen? Amen. Yeah, she can handle situations, okay? You know, and so when guys get, you know, boys especially get bigger, they get 10 years old, 12 years old, they're getting tall, they're getting deep voice, getting all big and stuff. She ain't afraid of that. That's nothing, you know. Because it's not just the physical strength a mom has, it's moral strength. It's the strength of character. It's having lived a life you haven't lived yet. And that by itself is powerful, more than even the physical strength. And so the Bible says, in 1 Timothy 5:7, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. So God can handle whatever you give him. The eagle's character or God's character, he can handle. And of course, mothers have that same nature. The eagle's soaring, another characteristic, the eagle's soaring speaks of God's holiness. And eagles can fly higher than other birds. And in fact, they've been hit by jets by accident, flying so high. And The Bible says God is Jehovah Elyon, the Lord God Most High. One of God's names is the Lord God Most High. And therefore, that speaks of God's character. And of course, a mother's character. Also, a mother has, most moms have high standards for the children, high standards for those they care about. And it's important to have people who expect a lot from us. Amen. And have high standards for us. We had our mini camp yesterday, had 11 youth yesterday. In fact, we capped it at 11 youth because we couldn't have a lot yesterday. And we had a good group of older kids this time around. And it was good to see that they could handle high expectation. Now, we didn't do a whole lot. It wasn't time for that. But we showed them the best of examples of video and photography and the best of equipment we had. They got to use our equipment. And just to get a sense of, you know, this is what we expect, that you're going to soar high, okay? You're not going to, you know, soar low. You're going to soar high. You're going to fly high. We expect that because, you know, everybody in the world is going low. Matter of fact, you know, one of the things you have, a sad phenomenon we have in our world today is people kind of, it's a race to the bottom in lots of ways, you know. I made a comment, like I was posting on my Facebook page, and I was over at a place at a restaurant and had my cameras out doing some calibration in preparation for the event yesterday. So a young man came by and saw my cameras and asked a question, you know, what are you doing with two cameras? I said, well, I'm doing calibration on cameras. I didn't get into all the details. Wasn't time to explain everything. He said, well, you should use social media to promote your work, you know. You probably figure I'm some old guy, don't know anything, you know what I'm saying? I said, I want to support him, you know what I'm saying? But I'm thinking that, the thing about social media is, social media is often very low quality. It's a race to the bottom, right? Folks at church holding the phone up, trying to film, it's all shaky and it's bad. But that's what people, that's where they are. So my point is, when I deal with people, I want to take you to a different level, okay? Anybody can put the phone up and all that. But let me show you how to use a real camera, how to soar high. Because most people are doing a race to the bottom. And then they're feeding on the bottom. Like catfish, you know, they feed on the bottom. Bottom feeders. Most people who don't know better, we can help them, but until they learn better, they don't know better. So they'll be bottom feeding, you know, rustling around there, all that junk in the bottom. But no, God wants you to soar like an eagle. Amen. Learn how to use the good stuff, the best way. Amen? And the best things don't have to always be expensive, by the way. It's a mindset. So we have good cameras that cost less than cell phones. There are good cameras that cost less than a cell phone. I mean, new cell phone, $1,000 cell phone, you can buy a very good camera for half of that. Right? Now, that said, the best camera is the one you have with you. That's your phone. My point, though, is when dealing with eaglets, young people, show them something higher. Show them something more than where they are. And they'll grow up with that mindset like, I'm going to soar like an eagle, not cluck like a chicken. Amen, somebody. A chicken's a bird. He can't even fly. How sad is that? Only thing worse than that is geese that can fly who are walking across the street. Something else young folks shouldn't do. Don't be out in the street when you can fly over it. Amen, somebody. Just this morning, I'm driving in. There's a bunch of geese on the drive, on the street. And I'm rolling up there. I didn't slow down. I kept on going. And at the very, very end, I slowed down just a bit to watch him trot out the way. Don't give way to these things, these birds. Don't hurt any creature by allowing their errors. Don't hurt any person or any animal by allowing them to do things that actually hurt them out of being courteous or being showing some kind of pity. Amen, somebody. All right, but eagles have no problem. Eagles fly so high, they only have a problem with other airplanes way up in the sky. So say this, I'll be like an eagle. The eagle soaring. Next is the eagle's offspring. representing God's children. And mother eagles are very protective and supportive of their young. Very protective. I give it, and even geese protect their young. Amen, somebody? You know, grow up on the young. They'll hiss and run at you and stuff. That's a mother's instinct. And now, some animals do ignore their young, and they're devoured as a result. But God and godly people and godly mothers are very focused on protecting and caring for their young. And, of course, us fathers as well, all of us as responsible parents, we are very, very keen on caring for our young. You saw in the video, again, those eaglets were almost as big as the mother and father eagles. And so they were of a certain age, but the mother and father was still there. They're all in the nest, and they're still protecting them. They're still nurturing them. They're still feeding them until such time as they can learn how, about 3 years it takes, to learn how to fly. Well, flying comes easily, but learn how to hunt is more difficult. So until they can fly and hunt and nourish themselves, then, of course, they need their parents right there with them. Amen, somebody? So then these are some characteristics of eagles that reflect on mothers and reflect on God himself. Again, the scripture said that God, like an eagle, God will rouse her chicks and hovers over her young. And so he spreads his wings to take them up. So first it says, like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers her young. Then it says, so he, God, spreads his wings to take them up and carry them safely on his pinions. Praise God. So there's God reflecting the value and character of her mother. And it says, and the Lord alone guided them, and they followed no foreign gods. You know, when you learn to follow God, you don't want to follow a foreign God. When you learn to follow the genuine and achieve the best in your life, you don't want anything lesser than what you have been trained to see as good. Look at Isaiah 40. Almost done here already. Now, so God has great concern for our welfare. You note that God himself reflects the attributes of a father and mother, of the perfect father and mother. And so while women and mothers are supportive and nurturing, and men or fathers are seen more as direct and strong in different ways, but these both are combined in the character of God. So Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those who are with young. So God meets our spiritual, our emotional, and our physical needs. God will feed us like a shepherd feeds his flock. There's no shepherd out here, obviously, who has a flock of lamb or sheep that's not going to feed them on a regular basis. Hebrews 13, verse 5, latter part, it says, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's what God is saying to us. And we should learn contentment. We act like we're going to run out of stuff. I'm afraid I'm out of food, run out of whatever I need to have. Well, if you're a believer, your master key is that God always provides for you. Now, we have responsibility to be givers and tithers, and, you know, we want to sow into the kingdom to activate those principles. But the bottom line is God's committed to our welfare. Like the eagles, mother and father are committed to the protection, to the protection and provision of their young. So, you know, it's hard sometimes for us to learn as God's children. Sometimes the lessons we need to learn, we don't learn them quickly. Sometimes we have difficulty learning. Sometimes we see our children have difficulty learning the lessons, I mean, God's lessons in life. The world's lessons are easy to learn. They're all out there. But doing things God's way is sometimes more difficult. But even that's not a problem for God. You know, God will help you no matter where he finds you. He'll help you however he can help you. And helping, by the way, isn't always a comfortable thing. Like I said, when the mother and father eagle know it's time for a bird to leave the nest, they'll make the nest uncomfortable. So sometimes, you know, God has ways of nudging us into our purpose and destiny. Sometimes he takes things away. Sometimes he takes people out of our lives we've been too dependent on so that we'll be able to trust him more. Amen? And sometimes we're blaming people for things and don't see that God's really at work in these circumstances. It's God who's doing it. We think somebody doing it to us is actually is God. Amen? So these are just some lessons I want to share with you. I want to just to encourage us that the master key is Jesus, and Jesus is giving us lessons. Lessons that when you learn the lesson, doors can open in your life. You can open doors, or God can open doors for you. But the key for us here is to pay attention. Pay attention. Have ears to hear. We're going to resume the series next week, Lord willing, from a book of Romans. We began in Romans. I was going to go there today, but God said, no, teach this message. But Romans chapter 8 is a master key chapter. You hear that? I'm giving you an assignment. Read the book of Romans. Read it this week. Read it in different translations. Read commentaries about Romans. Romans chapter 8, I'm saying. Because Romans chapter 8 are master key. We looked at last week, law of spiritual life in Christ makes me free from the law of sin and death. Master key is like, if you have your mind on things of the flesh, you'll be governed by the flesh. If your mind on things of the spirit, you're governed by the spirit. He said to be carnally minded is death. But spiritual mind is to have life and peace. So there's some principles, church, that we must get as Christians today. And I'm concerned that believers today and Christians today often are Christians in name only. We say we're Christians, but the fruit doesn't line up with what we say we are. Amen. So it's time. It's time in these last days to step into God's greater purpose. It's time for us to let God, as Mother Eagle, if you will, to take us up and deliver us from places that make us smaller, that make us lesser, that force us to bottom feeding and racing to the bottom. We want to step out of that mode and go and fly with those who are flying high with God. Amen, somebody? Let's all stand. Father, thank you